Alright, so thank you so much for downloading the second episode of the Only Music Podcast. My name is Stefan, and I'm here with
Luis.
And today we are going to divide our podcast into three sections: news, what we've been listening to, and we got an email which we want to discuss. It's been a busy week. It's been Death Grips, Nightwish, Shlomo, Action Bronson, and then of course the big one, Kendrick Lamar. And I think we got to start there. So it's kind of confusing because Kendrick Lamar was intended for a release this coming Monday, right?
Yeah.
But it leaked out. But it didn't really leak out.
It didn't really leak out.
No.
Because he just picked up on the new kind of American... I don't know if it's an American thing, but it is...
The surprise thing?
Well, yeah. It's the surprise release. No one announces it previously and it just arrives.
Okay, so I actually talked to a few people about this, and I spoke to some people involved with the labels and some guys who are well known in the leak quote-unquote community.
Yeah,
this is of course not fact, but the story seems to be that okay, so there was one track leak,
King Kunta.
It leaked out, and I think Interscope got cold feet and thought that okay, if that track leaks out, it means the wrong person has the a copy of the promo.
Yeah.
So there were essentially five people at the time who had the promo.
Okay.
That's the story.
Okay.
One of them being a well-known leaker, he had a copy. He says that he didn't leak the track, but somehow, some way, it did find its way into the internet. So Interscope got cold feet and decided to just release the thing. But what they didn't tell Top Dog Entertainment, which also is a part of this release.
Okay.
So the head of
Who are Top Dog in relation to Kendrick Lamar?
Kendrick Lamar established this label to help support the other act. I think Schoolboy Q is on this label as well. So they didn't know about this and found out basically because the album went up on iTunes and got mad. And I think the head of Top Dog Entertainment, his name is Anthony Tiffith, he got mad. Called up Interscope, said, pull the album. So they pulled the album from iTunes, but it's basically out already.
Well, yeah, it's on every digital platform, and you can't really take it down from the digital platform.
So after a couple of hours, they decided, okay, we got to release it anyway. So it went back up again on iTunes and on Spotify. So I think that's the...
official story.
Yeah. That's the sort of unofficial story. But I mean, a week doesn't really matter. I don't know if you read about the amount of streams the album got.
Well, yeah, I just read that it had Spotify. Basically, it reached the best Spotify streams ever.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool, man.
9.6 million in a day.
Right.
I don't know how much money...
We're lucky if we have 100,000 a day. That's a massive thing.
Do you know how much money that actually would...
Well, yeah, that's, let's see, 6 öre per stream, which is, that's Swedish crowns, everyone. Yeah. 6 öre is about 0.06 euro per stream.
There we go. Okay, all right.
Yeah. So that's where, per stream.
Per
guys.
Stream.
Yeah.
And that...
So you can do the math at home.
Do the math. But I can already tell it's not a lot of money.
No. Well,
compared to pre-orders or iTunes.
No, but imagine how many you will, if you keep doing this a day and you've gone 0.06 per stream, then I'd say you'll add up for a tiny bit, you know, a tiny bit. And that's not inclusive of the publishing. The publishing is a lot less.
That's true.
But that's just the master, basically.
And then we have, with this story, we also have Earl's Sweatshirt.
Yes.
Which,
yes. So bless him. Yeah.
The headline is that his album announcement got leaked out. But I think the story is that he wanted the album to get a pre-order starting on iTunes. but he didn't want the track list and the artwork. He mm-hmm. essentially wanted the pre-order and the video, and that's it. And with a hip-hop artist like this, there's a lot of guest artists.
Of course,
so when
absolutely.
The track list was announced, mm-hmm. a lot of things got spoiled, so mm-hmm. to say. The label doesn't care.
Yeah.
Because they don't care about how an album gets announced in an artistic way.
Yeah.
I think as an artist, you want to present your album, your upcoming album in a sequence,
mm-hmm.
in your kind of sequence. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we put out this video, which entails this. Then we move on to the track list, which tells another story. And then we move on to the artwork and so on and mm-hmm. so forth. And then we hit the release date.
Yeah.
So I understand that Earl Sweatshirt is pissed.
Well, yeah, but at the same time, I keep thinking, was it the product manager? Who was it who leaked? Now, knowing, sorry, iTunes, I love you. However, knowing iTunes not being the most of the flexible kind of digital platforms out there, they could do with a little bit of flexibilities when it comes to being a little bit creative with the releases, you know? No stories involved. I'm not going to tell any stories here, but there are some stories
okay.
that I know of that, you know, where they kind of made it very difficult. So I'm wondering, is this an iTunes problem? Is it another problem? You know, I'm just kind of thinking.
Because it always seems like there's a slip up, that there's some person at the label slips up and whoops.
That could be.
There
it could
we go.
Be.
Whoops, I
but I kind
accidentally...
of feel sorry, because these are guys working really hard and they always get a lot of blame when something happens. And I understand maybe the Earl Sweatshirt wanted to blame someone, of course, because this was not, I mean, they ruined a lot of the kind of, he wanted a surprise release, he didn't really get it, they ruined it. Of course I'd be upset. But in the same time, I keep thinking, I have some sympathy around, and I really think maybe the label messed it up, etc., but maybe it was just a bad communications. We are, although we work in the digital formats, etc., we are nothing but humans. We all do mistakes. Very obvious one here, but still.
Coming back to Kendrick Lamar, we gotta talk about the album.
I'd have been through a whole lot. Tried tribulation, but I know God. The devil wanna put me in a bow tie. Played at the holy water, don't go try. Yeah, yeah. As I look around me, so many motherfuckers wanna down me. But enemy gonna never drown me. In front of a dirty double mirror, they found me. And I love myself. I want you looking at me. Tell me what you see. I love myself. I put a bullet in the back of the head and a bullet. I love myself. Illuminated by the hand of God. Boy, don't seem shy. I love myself. One day at a time. They wanna say it's a war outside. Bomb in the street, gun in the hood.
I think you should start off. Yeah,
because I love the album. I'm one of these millions of people who love to stream this album. I think we have got funk deluxe coming out of Kendrick Lamar's new album. I love the messages. I love the fact that he's becoming very proactive. Well, not becoming. He's always been, but you know, he's really putting. I love the funk in the album. I love the bass lines. I love everything about this album.
I assume that you would like that because you like D'Angelo and that kind of funk, jazz thing.
Funk
yeah,
jazz,
exactly.
Yeah.
I have a problem. The problem with me is that I think that, first of all, like being a Swedish, like suburban middle class kid, and then we have on the other side, we have Kendrick Lamar, which comes from Compton and deals with racism that mm-hmm. isn't, I mean, we got racism in Sweden, but mm-hmm. we don't have our own Compton, so to say.
No.
I remember when I grew up and there were people listening to Tupac and I couldn't diss Eazy-E of the AIDS thing. It was so important, and I thought it was super silly. We're Swedish guys, and you're trying to relate to something that is so far off from Swedish culture.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, when I hear about Kendrick Lamar, I really want to listen to the album. I want to see his perspective of things. I want to learn about mm-hmm. Compton because it's so different from like watching a documentary mm-hmm. or I mean watching Daily Show mm-hmm. or whatever. But the problem with this album is that I can't get past the funk.
It's great. It's brilliant. That's
I,
th- it.
I think it's the
so
same
fantastic.
Thing when I listen to like Flying Lotus.
Yes.
It's no, I don't
love
understand
Flying
it.
Lotus.
No, it's So I'm lazy. I want to...
Oh, no. Okay, that's fair. You're being honest about the fact that you can't relate to it 100%, which is fair. But never, it doesn't mean just because you're white middle class, you can't relate to good music. I mean, you know...
No, but I gotta... The music comes first.
Yeah.
If I like the music, yeah. I'll listen to the album a million times, and then I'll understand the lyrics.
Yeah.
I'll get into what he means, and mm-hmm. I'll find it out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to like go on Rap Genius and read his lyrics and the interpretations of it and then get a feeling of what Kendrick Lamar is.
But that's just the thing with this album. You don't necessarily need to go that deep because this album hits you immediately when you listen to it. You know, it's just, don't forget, you know, funk is a powerful, you know, I'm not going to talk, you know, hours of funk tonight because that's going to be too boring for everyone. But,
yes.
You know, funk is the way, yes, it gets a little bit too much at times.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, you know, at moments you think, okay, enough is enough. But overall, I love this album.
I love the first single. I don't know why
you need
people
to go and listen to I, because all you want to do is like, wow.
Yeah, I is really good.
Yeah.
It's flawless, especially the album version, which has that live.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's fake live, but it's really good.
Yeah.
And it's
exiting.
But
yeah.
Then it's, oh, it hits like, I mean, the lyrics are interesting, but then we have also the part of the lyrics which are basically him dealing with being famous.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because he has a sort of different perspective than, say, Kanye West.
Of course.
Which sees himself like a product. Kendrick Lamar seems like he says in the lyrics, he says that he's basically going to learn as much as he can when he's famous and then go back to Compton and teach the people, so to say, about what to do with it. So learn from the experience.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
interesting.
Which is great.
But the music still sucks.
Okay,
sorry.
I'll tell you what, we leave it like this because I can keep trying to convince Stefan for hours
that right.
this is the best album
okay.
in a long time.
Let's
but
move on.
Let's give us your opinions, man. What do you think about this album? That's what we want to hear.
Okay, so moving on, we got our section about what we've been listening to. And I think you should start here because you find, I don't know which track you want to start off with.
I could make this list 10 times longer. I've been trying to take the most relevant tracks of the last week, basically, and just put them up here. But should we go out hard? Let's do with I love the cover of the California Girls track.
Yes.
Now,
best track of the year, I would say.
Wow.
I'm envious that you that you were the one to find this track. It's amazing.
It is brilliant. It's a brilliant track. Nombi. I don't really know. I never know how to translate this name.
I'm not going to try it.
No. But it's like, you know, you got to check this track out. It's called California Girls. And
I love the fact that it starts off like, okay, this sounds horrible. This sounds like a mid-90s boy band. Guitar
yeah.
riff.
Yes, I love that.
And then it hits completely, it goes in a totally different
yeah.
direction.
Yeah. yeah.
And that, I think that there's one simple, really loud percussion mm-hmm. in the chorus.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Which can't make you not listen to this any further. It just, you need to listen to the whole track. Don't stop after half of it. Just listen through it all.
I want to quickly mention, well, not quickly, because this is a subject, I'm going to try to cut this down.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a discussion about, I've been reading about men like Noel Gallagher, Billy Corgan talking about rock and roll is dead. You've said the same. I think right now, I think there's so many examples that rock and roll isn't dead. Wolf Alice, have you heard Wolf Alice?
I haven't heard. If they released something recently, I haven't heard it.
No. Okay, there's a single out, and there's an album on the way.
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect. Then I want to move on to Duke Spirit.
Mm.
Duke Spirit is one of those UK bands that I don't think they ever broke into the States. They never successfully managed to break into the US.
Yeah.
That's a common issue.
Yeah.
UK rock bands trying to break into the US territory. I don't think Oasis even successfully did so. I don't know if Arctic Monkeys is a high profile name in the US.
Arctic Monkeys? I think it's not. I think people knows about it well enough, but I don't think it's had that extreme breakthrough. I think Royal Blood had a bigger breakthrough. I shouldn't say too much here, but I had a feeling that Arctic Monkeys always struggled a bit, which, you know, British rock and roll has always, rock music has always struggled. That's why Oasis was such a phenomenon, because they broke in America, you know?
But did they break in?
Well,
sort of, right?
Bigger than this, I think.
Yeah, yeah, of course, you know? Of course.
Okay. I mean, there's got to be some examples of big rock acts, apart from Led Zeppelin, you know.
I don't think it matters. Mm. I think if there are UK rock and US rock, that's fine.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
I don't think anyone in England or anywhere else would want to listen to, like, 30 Seconds of Mars. But Duke Spirit is interesting because they released three albums.
Yeah.
They got Lila Moss, who's their lead vocalist.
Yeah.
She's super talented.
She's cool. I like her.
She's super cool.
Yeah.
She looks like a UK version of Brody Dalle.
Oh, really? She's got a little bit of
like
Kim,
a clean,
Kim
clean,
Gordon.
Cleaned up Kate Moss without the drugs. Brody Dalle, I would say.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah.
And I gotta play this track. It's produced by Chris Goss, which is one of my favorite ever producers.
Mm.
He's obviously been in like Masters of Reality, but he has produced albums from Stone Temple Pilots, Soul Wax, Queens of the Stone Age. Three of the Queens of the Stone Age albums. I would say the best three albums from them. He produced Uncle, Mark Lenigan, Melissa Auf-der-Maur. Remember Melissa Auf-der-Maur?
No,
she was the bassist in Hole.
Yeah.
And then she was the bassist in Smashing Pumpkins as well. And some. She's really good.
Okay.
I'll
go back.
Very good as well. Okay. So, but he's super talented. I love this track. I love how he squeezes in a brass section right before the chorus, and the chorus kicks in, and it's just a tambourine, and it's just Lila or singing just more, and that's all I need.
I talk to no one. Oh, you're invisible. And with this venomous tongue, yeah, none of it's true. And I can taste it. You see, it's in the heather. A message from forever. And now I understand. Could I make me get over you?
While we were listening to the track, we talked about the US and UK thing. I quickly want to mention that Duke Spirit is about to release a new album. They told me that they are going to mix the album by the end of the year, hopefully releasing it by the end of the year as well. I asked them, okay, so why didn't you break into the US? Because they were featured on Letterman, and they did the video game, what's it called, Guitar Hero, which was a big thing. They said, and I asked, like, why didn't you break into the US?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And he replied back and he said, like, I think we broke into the US. We toured there for 8 years. But then I asked, which I shouldn't, but mm-hmm. then I asked, like, okay, but you didn't have any sales.
Yeah.
I didn't get a reply back. I think it was too, it's been too harsh
too,
on them.
Too much reality, yeah. I think, absolutely, you know. UK breaking through America, UK rock acts breaking in America, it's like, you know, the hottest topic in America, in the UK, you know, can we find a rock band to break America? You know, that is a big thing, you know, an endless amount of money has been
pushed into that. Yeah, it's like the saviors
that.
Of rock,
exactly.
And then there's like a headline, and there's like the horrors.
Exactly, you know, which obviously never broke America.
The music.
And exactly, hey, listen, I
love the music.
Music.
I love the music.
I signed them.
Yes, I adore you for that. Okay, let's continue.
But never worked in America. Nevertheless, you know, I think, you know, the most successful act in rock, if you want to call them rock, I guess you do, in America that came from the UK in the 90s was Bush. Like Gwen Stefani, Gavin Rossdale.
Yeah, that's strange.
You know?
Because that, I think that...
I
thought that Bush was actually a US act.
Yeah, but that's... They scored the number one album in the US with the Razorblade Suitcase in 1996.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, exactly. Yes.
And that was like... That's massive. You know, that was massive for the UK, you know?
Soundtrack of Our Lives, which is a Swedish act. They were popular in Britain. They tried on the US market. I think they were on Letterman.
Yeah.
They toured in the US.
Yeah.
They did some stuff with Oasis as well, right?
Yeah, well, I think Noah Gallagher's been a massive fan.
So do you think, I mean, have they ever commented about breaking into the US? Do they regard themselves as...
I mean, they did Letterman, as you said. They did a lot of... They had a big chance, but it's a little bit that basic rule. You do Letterman or you do Conan O'Brien or you do one of these shows... Then you have got the kind of lead way, the door is open into America a little bit, you know, into the households of America. If that doesn't happen at that point, you're a little bit like, okay, didn't happen.
And we're talking album sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking based on, at that time, album sales, now streams and album sales, you know, combination of the two. Now, a lot of these bands, they still tour America, they still go back ever so often, they got releases in America. But maybe, you know, they just didn't hit it off like Duke Spirit after that one event, you know? So it's a little bit like, are they going to make it or not, you know?
Do you want to play a track?
Yes, I want to play another brilliant track. Well, talking about rock and a little bit, I want to play Let It Happen by Tame Impala that was released... that was out on the internet this week, of course, and I think everyone probably heard it already, but the conversations about this track has been endless, I feel. Everyone's heard it.
Yes.
And everyone's got an opinion about
yes.
it. You know, so Stefan, you start. What's your opinion?
I haven't listened to Tame Impala that much, but when I listen to it, I feel that, okay, so I read the comments, which are basically, oh, this is Tame Impala light.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel Tame Impala feels like a typical group that locks themselves in a basement and don't see the outside world, dig into their crates of bizarre psychedelic vinyl from the 70s and 60s and comes back with an album which is impossible to listen to.
Yeah.
But
well,
this,
No.
But with this single, they don't. They have released something which is sort of, I don't want to say commercial, it is still an 8-minute track.
Yeah. It's a fair point.
And it's a single.
Yeah.
I love it. I think it's really good.
Well, that's interesting. Personally, I have a feeling a little bit that I'm listening to a band doing a cover and trying to sound like Tame Impala, but it's not Tame Impala. You know what I mean?
I want to move on to Sheila Gonzalez.
Yeah.
Love Sheila Gonzalez.
Yeah.
So Sheila Gonzalez, I think is most known for, he wrote some stuff for Feist. He produced her most famous record.
Early on,
not produced, but co-wrote the album.
Co-wrote and...
And then he was on the previous Daft Punk album as well.
Yeah.
He's a self-proclaimed musical genius.
Yeah.
He's kind of funny.
Yeah.
He's obviously classically trained.
Yeah.
But the thing about Gonzalez is he has a pop sensibility.
Yeah.
That few classical artists don't have. But the thing is, okay, so we have two versions of Gonzalez. We have, on one side, we have the classical trained Gonzalez, and the other side, we have Gonzalez who want to be a rapper.
Yeah, which I love.
Who wants to work with, he worked with Noise Boys, and eventually, I think he released two rap albums, which are basically unlistenable. I'm sorry, but it is. But the one thing you want with Sheila Gonzalez, you want his sense of nerd, classical thing combined with his pop sensibility. So you want those 3-minute, melody-heavy, beautiful, beautiful, complicated, but simply beautiful tracks.
Yeah.
The problem with his new album, which is called Chambers, he adds a string section. But the thing is, he relies too much on the string section. It sounds a bit too much like a soundtrack and not an album. So I want to play a track, but I'm actually going to play, for those who haven't heard Sheila Gonzalez, I want to play an old track of which I think really describes him as a combination of, yeah, he's a classical trained pianist, but he has a sense of melody and pop.
But this tune has been buzzing all through the week on the internet, and I absolutely adore it. It's called Love by Odyssey, and I'm sure you're all gonna go, yeah, I've been listening to that as well this week, because it's
really... I haven't heard it.
Oh, you gotta listen to it.
Okay.
Man, it's brilliant. It's hip-hop.
Okay.
At its best. I love the track. And yeah, this is it. There's no story to this. You just need to listen to the tune. It's brilliant.
When you told me the truth, even if it really hurt, cause you knew what I was worth.
That's love.
When you let me borrow money that you didn't really have, cause you knew what I was worth.
That's love.
When I was at my worst, you would tell me I would blow when I thought that I would burst.
That's love.
You taught me how to help others, and through that discovered how to put myself first. And here we are again, just confronting fears. Whether pain or gain is a bunch of tears. Blood, sweats, and tears probably disappear when smoke starts to clear. They resistance near. Pay attention to the folks who are fan of the flames. They're the ones who matter most in the gravity game. When stakes weigh you down and they stay around to pick up pieces and you off the ground. That's love.
Just, there's something really endearing with this guy. He's doing it right.
I want to move on to the Go Team. The Go Team. Oh, have you heard the Go Team before? Have you?
Yeah. You know what really annoyed me with it, trying to listen to the Go Team wherever I came, was hard to listen to it. But you know, anyway, that's a side issue.
Oh yeah. No, because it's compressed, or I mean,
no, I don't know what it was. I was sitting on a train to Stockholm, and I just couldn't hear it. I was trying to listen to it. I was like, I've got to listen to the Go Team. But then I kind of thought to myself, you know what? It's the Go Team. I don't really want to listen to it.
But did you listen to their first record? I mean, that one massive.
Dude, and I had the option of signing them once.
And, oh, you did? Okay.
On the publishing.
Yeah.
And this sounds really horrible. I hope no one listens to this. But I just really, in the end, I loved the early videos, etc. But,
yeah,
you know, the music wasn't ever very good.
What?
No.
Okay.
No.
So I remixed the Go Team. I remixed their second album, the first single from their second album, which was obviously hype because the first record was such a success.
Mm.
The second album wasn't that good.
Mm.
But I remember, because the Go Team is very, it's sort of like either you hate or love the production.
I guess, yeah.
Because it's very compressed. It's not compressed in a music nerd vocabulary. It's like they push like the high frequencies.
Yeah,
and like brick walls it and emulate basically blown out speakers.
Okay.
And add that distortion, and
they
use samples.
Yeah.
He doesn't, guy behind the Go Team, he doesn't clean up the samples, the vinyl samples.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about that. There's basically no bass in the songs.
Yeah, big problem.
But the interesting thing, I think, because then you're left with, like, you got to compensate with good songwriting, strong, like, harmonies and melodies. And I think that's why I've always been interested with the Go Team. It's like a combination of punk garage type of production with, again, pop sensibility kind of thing. Really good songwriter behind all of this mess. Moving on. We got a final track from you, right?
Final track. You know, listen, this is my, you know, I have a very, everyone who knows me knows I've got a really soft spot for 80s, you know, late 70s, disco, early 80s, mid 80s, late 80s, house, garage, early garage. I love that. I really, really do.
Like UK garage?
No. We're talking Chicago garage,
okay,
and stuff. And I had made a track listing this week, which was also including some, but I'm not going to bore people with that because people think I'm a bit boring when I play that stuff. But there is one track, I'm not saying this is old school in any way, because it's kind of, it's not super new, but it's a good track. It's called, it's by a producer called Leon Sweet, a DJ producer kind of scenario, and the track is called Sunny Beatler, and it's a remix, Left Side Wobble remix is called. This is really nerdy, but it's a great tune, basically. It's a really great tune.
Don't say
Okay, so for our final section, actually got an email. If you want to send us an email, you can ask us anything. It's podcast@theonlymusicpodcast.com. So this email comes from, and I'm gonna butcher his name. I've already butchered the English language, so it doesn't really matter, but I think his name is Gianluca. So he writes, hi Stefan and Luis, love that my favorite site now has a sister podcast. Anyway, a question for you both. I recently heard of an indie artist who spiraled into depression because his albums leaked. From your individual experience in the music industry, have you heard any similar cases? I'm sure you've personally known artists whose albums have leaked. What are the reactions usually like? Thanks, guys. Best of luck with the podcast. And I think I want to start up with you with the first question here. I mean, this is a unique case, depression and leaks.
Yeah, I mean, that was really hard, you know, what he wrote in his mail, this terrible, you know. But I've heard similar stories of, you know, leaks of parts of a new album that's been recorded and musicians are really excited they're going to be on a major album.
Can you tell the Lana Del Rey story?
Yeah, why not? I hope I'm not telling too much, but there was a lot recorded for the latest Lana Del Rey album, and you know, that they spent a long time recording various parts of this album, and of course, you know, everyone gets excited. You know, you're going to be a part of a new Lana Del Rey, whatever you think about it. It's, you know, she's a major great artist, and after, you know, a while, you know, the guy who recorded some of these parts back in Sweden found out that they leaked from the US end. And of course, devastating. It's a devastating story because, they didn't end up using the parts.
Because of the leak,
of course, you know. And, you know, to a certain extent, I think, you know, that... Of course, it's horrible. It's really terrible.
I mean, you're connected with major labels because, yeah. I mean, indie labels and leaks aren't, I mean, it's a problem.
Yeah.
But have you heard of any Swedish artists having problems with leaks?
You know what? I haven't. It's interesting to say, considering we're such a digital, you know, territory. You know, Scandinavia is so digital.
And we got a lot, I mean... Props to Sweden.
Absolutely.
But we got a few great artists, big artists.
Absolutely.
I mean, Robin.
Absolutely. You know, The Knife, Robin, Tove Lo. Yeah, I mean, you name it. You know, there's a lot coming out of Sweden right now. And, you know, I think what I find, you know, I have to admit, normally when I hear this, it's from the US when you hear about the big leaks. You know, I don't normally hear, maybe it's the fact that we are better at protecting. I don't know. Or maybe it's just fluke. You know, who knows? But the fact is, if the leak becomes so devastating, you know, to the artist, I mean, obviously, you know, various people manage to, I mean, I don't know how Björk felt, you know. Or Madonna felt, you know. I know big.
Well, we know how Madonna felt.
Well, we know, we know. But you know, I haven't had the personal conversation about that.
But okay. Well, let me ask you this. So we shared offices.
Yeah.
And when you met me, and I was presenting myself, and I heard that you were a label in Sweden, I remember presenting myself. Okay, my name is Stefan. I have a site called Hasn't Leaked, and I was shit scared because either you're gonna hate me or you're gonna see the opportunity. So what did you think when you heard about like a site like connected with leaks?
I thought it was the smartest thing I've heard in a long time. I kind of thought, well, listen, it's an uncontrollable issue that partly becomes partly controllable, right? It's uncontrollable when things like leaks, you know, it becomes uncontrollable. You cannot control that.
Have you discussed, like, since you're in Stockholm and you're with Warner?
I
keep mentioning Warner.
Yeah.
But that's basically
one of the majors. You know, you end up working with a lot, you know, from the publishing perspective, you know, a lot of the artists has got various labels.
What are their view of leaks and the impact it has?
You know, I think you know, a couple of years ago, it was such a major, major issue, right? It was like really everyone was going, oh, we got to do X, Y, and Z in order to control the leaks, etc. You know, right now, you know, it's really not the major issue they're discussing. I mean, all the labels, etc. You know, I think most people are more controlling, more talking about how do we get our music, you know, through the big buzz of all the music being released. How do we get through that? You know, how do we get to the right playlist? How do we get to the right, you know, X, Y, and Z, which are primarily controlled by the major labels, you know? I think I like the fact that it seems to have been a smart, partly reversed, you know, the kind of surprise release. It's almost similarity to the leaks, but it's a controlled issue, right?
That's true. That's very true. Yeah.
So you're trying to control the leak issue by doing that.
People ask me often, like, okay, do you think that... is it helpful or not to an artist? It's definitely not. I think leaks are, especially if you're not a major major artist, it's very, very difficult to deal with. So I don't think leaks are a way for like promotion or a way to get your music out there.
But can I ask you the question, what was the purpose when you set up hasitleaked.com?
Well, that was, I initially set up hasitleaked because I saw the opportunity. There's a lot of people who Google leaks. If you want the Kendrick Lamar release, you don't go to Pirate Bay, you don't go to Reddit, you don't go to all of these forums. Most people go to Google and search Kendrick Lamar leak. And they found various like fake sites and sort of that. And I wanted to grab hold of the people who are essentially wanting a record, wanting to discuss the album before it leaks, because they are fans, not because they necessarily agree that piracy is a good thing.
No.
So I started Hasitleak because I saw that there's an audience here who are like me, a music fan who wants to discuss the upcoming Faith No More record or whatever. And I wanted to create that forum. While I wanted to do that, I was working with my own music, so I wanted to build Hasitleak with an audience and then promote my own music.
Yeah.
That never happened because I think that it becomes something else.
Yeah, it's a different part.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to be like a mediator between, okay, I give fans an opportunity to know that, okay, this album has leaked. And I get the labels an opportunity to be creative. They can talk to the people who are waiting for essentially downloading a record for free. They can do something creative about it. Problems with labels is that they are simple-minded. They don't know how to handle with it. Look at all the releases. The Björk record was a great step forward. The album leaked, put out the album straight away the day after. That's a good way to combat the leaks. Not to like go with DMCA letters or web sharers and stuff like that.
Yeah. But do you feel responsible when you read a mail like this? Do you think your site and the community there are partly responsible for what's happening, like in terms of leaking? I mean, is there a kind of connection between that or not?
It's a good question because I feel that Hasitleak it's not a gray area because we aren't sharing download links, but you could advocate that it's a site that offers or discusses leaks and in some sort of ways promote leaks.
Yeah.
You could argue that way. But right now we get like 99% of our traffic is from people searching on Google for an illegal download.
Yeah.
There isn't an illegal download because the album hasn't leaked. There is no other options. There is no pre-order link. They end up on Hasitleak.
Yeah.
Okay, so back to the question here.
Yeah.
He asked...
how do we think it affects the artist, basically, right? That's the question here.
Yes.
I think, you know, to be honest, I do think you spend... you know, it varies how long artist spends in a studio. Some artist, Justice, spends years in a studio. Some other artist spends half a year. I mean, it all varies between artists. regardless, I wouldn't, you know, of course, once you had all that hard work going into creating an album, and then all of a sudden someone who you have no clue who it is, you don't know the person, you don't, maybe you do know the person, you have no clue, leaks that to completely outside of a campaign that quite a few people probably been working on to create for this particular release. Yeah. That's harsh.
Yeah, it
that's
is.
Tough.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, we live in the digital world. No one said it would, you know, would be any difference in a way, I can think. You know, I'm not saying that's a good excuse enough. I just think we live in a world where the digital world is too, as I called it before, uncontrollable.
Yeah.
You know, you cannot control. We can try, and the music industry has been so slow fitting into, I mean, let's face it, we were way behind. And we have paid for that. And we have, like, we are still trying to adapt to it, still trying to find a way through. But I think, you know, it's starting to fall into place. But
I mean, labels need a release date. Release dates are going to stick. I mean, okay, there's this few exceptions with surprise albums. To be able to do a surprise album, you've got to be a major artist.
You've got to be.
And nobody can do like a surprise album.
No Drake and Beyonce can.
Exactly.
And that's why it.
Yes.
Yeah.
And look at D'Angelo. He did a surprise album.
It didn't really work. Yeah.
Didn't work.
Yeah. But in the same time, the artist will be affected. They will feel like, most likely, unless there's an artist listening now and say any different, I'd say they feel like shit.
Of course. Of course. I mean, I'm not gonna compare myself to any other artist. I've been a very minor artist, but when I released my album back in 2007, if I had that leaked, even if I had a couple of hundred fans, I would feel it's so difficult to deal with, because you have this plan in your head that, okay, I'm gonna, even if like 99% of the people who are going to listen to the album doesn't care.
Yeah.
You want to present your work in your own way.
Of course you do.
You want to present in an, okay, I release a single, and then I release maybe a clip, and then a video.
Yeah.
I mean, back to the sweatshirt thing.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
You don't want that thing ruined.
No. No.
I want to mention one quick thing. I talked to Gianluca here.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him essentially about who the artist was. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to disclose this.
No.
But he said that, so Caribou, for example, he says, Caribou, for example, has an interesting outlook on leaks.
Yeah.
So I want to quickly mention
that.
Because even if Madonna sounds like a horrible person who, I mean, obviously compares terrorism to leaks, which is, stupid. Then you have, I want to say this, because then you have Caribou and you have artists like Björk.
Yeah.
When their album leaks, they're like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I just want my stuff out there, whatever. I want to be, this might sound harsh, but I think it's much easier for, I'm not saying all of the artists that are doing this, but I think some of the artists are saying finally leaks because there's so many fans who would get angry at them if they were to
idiots
for downloading my record for free.
But don't forget, I mean, I really would like to, I know Björk turned it around quickly, I know Caribou was cool, and you know, both amazing artists that I absolutely adore in all ways. I'm not saying this was a premeditated campaign of going out saying, you know, or definitely not a premeditated campaign, but perhaps they knew press well enough. They know the internet well enough to go, I don't really care, go ahead, guys. Now, if I was an artist and partly quite smart, I would probably do exactly the same, because to fight against that, I would fight against my own fans listening to it. So I would rather be like, go ahead, guys, listen.
Yeah, exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
What would I feel personally? I don't really know.
Yes. I mean, I remember, I actually talked to Caribou about this, and he said, like, I woke up one morning and my Twitter feed was filled with people saying, oh, your album's great.
Wow.
That's horrible.
Wow.
That's difficult to deal with. It's like, yeah, okay, that's fine, but I mean, or there's another, speaking about of Canadian artists. There's another artist called Lights.
Yeah.
She's not known well in the US, UK, or Sweden, but she's big in Canada. And she said that every day was like a struggle. She knew that her album was going to leak, but she was so thankful every day that the album
didn't.
Yeah.
I think there is a bigger picture to be discussed here, because we're talking about copyright infringement, essentially, which I can talk myself silly about, because, you know, I really...
And that's a dangerous territory.
I know.
When you mention copyright infringement,
yeah,
and the implications, and the... it's basically going back to, especially the US, and how they view regulations. And
same thing in the UK, no difference, and same thing in many territories. And, you know, I'm not going to go into deepness about this, because, I, as I said, I can talk myself silly about it. But let's face it, Damien Hirst released something tomorrow, and there would be posters or copies of that artwork everywhere in the world. That doesn't happen. You know, I mean, we're kind of taking away, music is something that is created under a long amount of time. And I think, you know, to a certain extent, I think we're undermining it a little bit by just saying, okay, well, I have the right to take this. In the same time, admittedly, you know, I'd probably be the first one to download if I had the opportunity, you know, and I'd be like, oh, I really want to hear it, I can't wait.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
it's a great response that people really do want to hear it. But at the same time, why is music different from any other art form? Why is music on the side of this, you know?
We can discuss this hours and hours.
Yeah.
I want to quickly just labels, get your distribution channels, get it together.
Yeah.
That's a big issue.
Yeah. It is a big issue.
If an album leaks, you're supposed to be able to just release it yourselves the day after.
I'm well aware, but you can't forget, I have to add this, not like, fine, if we got one label and one distribution channel all through the world, no probs. We can react quickly, perhaps, you know. And even so, if it's only one, I know it's hard to understand, but, you know, sometimes like an indie label, for example, we sit with various distribution channels, digital, yes, but then, you know, we have a certain amount of time we are told we need in order to upload to all digital channels. When you upload that to all digital platforms, you need to put in dates, you need to put in all the information necessary, right? So it's not just like, oh shit, it released more. I was astonished by Björk and how quickly they turned that around. I thought that was amazing.
But their label got their distribution in Germany, I believe, or in Europe, got pissed.
Of course.
Had to cut their contracts with them just to get it out there.
Of course, because not only because of contract, it's because of a certain amount of lead time the digital platforms demand. So I'd say don't blame the label, blame the digital platforms. Sorry, digital platforms. But, you know, we could probably turn around it quickly, no problems. But then you need everyone, every little moment that we work with, and there's hundreds of them. It's not just one. Everyone needs to be told, you need to turn this around now, you know? Easy if you're Björk, perhaps, a little bit easier, but not that easy if you're anyone else, you know?
Let's continue this discussion in a future episode.
Yeah.
I want to quickly mention, because this is so weird, we talked about Lamar. I suddenly found a guy who said that he had the record. He had the Lamar record, which is obviously out now, but he had the album when the King Kunta track leaked. And he said that he was on a forum and he said, like, okay, if you pre-order the album, if we make the album number one on iTunes, I'll promise to leak one other track, which is weird. So I had to look up, who's this guy?
Whoa.
Okay, so this is new to me. For those who are into Kanye to the West forums and Reddit and stuff like that, they basically know who this guy is. He goes by the name Kulo. He's basically from the Middle East. He's in his 30s. Found him on the web. He has a website which is called Section 80 right now. He had another website which was called like Studio Leaks or something like that. Found him and I got to talk with him. He's a really nice guy, but he's got an amazing story. He was and he is a super Eminem fan. So what he did, went to different forums and said that, okay, I got X amount of dollars, I want unreleased Eminem tracks, I can pay whatever. And he got answers from people up in, I mean, assume like label people or studio people or whatever, saying that, okay, if you pay this amount of money, we can hand you these tracks. And I think this started in like, it started in 2009. He leaked I Need a Doctor, which is one of the biggest Eminem songs, but he basically paid amazing list of songs, but he leaked MMLP2, Eminem album, big thing. He leaked six of the Dr. Dre Detox album tracks, bunch of Eminem tracks. So he basically paid for each of these tracks, listened to them, but as he said to me, like, he wanted fame. He wanted his 15 minutes of forum fame.
That's why he did it.
Yeah, so he leaked it. Yeah, because he wanted the attention. And yeah, you get your attention if one guy leaks a bunch of tracks. He even asked on a forum, which tracks do you want me to leak? And a guy said, oh, leak this track. And he did it. So basically he had a connection, doesn't want to reveal the connection, obviously, but he paid for tracks, listened to them, and then leaked them. Obviously the guy who sold him the songs pissed off right now, because obviously he didn't want the tracks to be leaked. But he did this for years. And he paid them. The basic thing is, like, the basic question, how did you pay these guys? Yeah. How did you keep the secret? No, he paid them with PayPal. With PayPal.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the rumor was that Interscope said, like, it eventually, it got as far as the management, Eminem's management, said that, okay, please stop leaking. We get Eminem to call you. And you can talk to Eminem. We want Eminem to convince you to stop leaking records. And he said, no, I don't want to talk to Eminem. He's told me that it was basically going to be too embarrassing to talk to Eminem. Obviously, Eminem's going to be pissed.
Yes, of course.
But it's so strange. With money, you can do this. You can leak tracks.
It's extremely sad.
Going on a forum saying, I got money, hand me the tracks.
Yeah.
Right now, he says, I want to add this. He says that he stopped the leaking business. He says that he's going to run this site.
Oh, that's beautiful. Right.
But back to, he got an early copy of the Lamar record. So even if he says that he didn't leak the track or wasn't supposed to leak the album, it's no wonder that Interscope released the album earlier.
Yeah.
Because if you got a guy...
Yeah, like this.
Exactly.
Absolutely. And looking, if you Google Section 80, sorry to say, I mean, it comes up that he's also leaked the 2011 album and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, with Kendrick Lamar, for example.
Yeah.
So the guy has got, like, you know, I'm sorry, you make your own fame from leaking that... No, I'm sorry. You cannot do that.
I asked him like three times, how much did you pay for the Eminem album? How much is that worth? But he didn't want to disclose it.
That takes away. I'm not, you know, to even start discussing money versus art and blah, blah, blah. You know, it's irrelevant.
But it goes back to Hazard Lee, because this guy, he is a big Eminem fan. He doesn't care about leaks. I mean, from the start.
Yeah.
I would say.
Yeah.
He wants to listen to the Eminem tracks. He's got the money. He listens to them.
Mm-hmm.
Then he gets tempted to leak them.
Yeah.
But then, that's another story. But he's a super fan.
Oh, but that's super. He's a super fan. But I'm sorry. You're also dissing the person you're a fan of by releasing it.
Of course. Okay. We got to end this thing.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you.
We are so grateful for your emails, your comments. It's been great. We are working on better audio equipment. We have read all of your comments. I want to add that we are definitely going to add annotations to the episodes, we're gonna add the track list and
that's all coming.
Exactly. Check we're gonna out. Have a Spotify playlist on our website as well.
Yeah.
Fix that. But please keep on emailing us. Please hand in your suggestions if you wanna ask us, or if you just wanna trash us. That's fine.
That's cool.
We want that as well.
Constructive criticism is perfectly cool.
Exactly. So we are planning to do this every second week.
Yep.
That's our plan. So hopefully we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
That's it.
Thank you.
I guess that's it. You're going back tomorrow.
I can't leave you. I just can't.
Look, New York gave us 2 wonderful days, and we should say
bye.
We have to come down to Earth sometime.
That's just it. We don't. Maybe other people do, but we don't. I'm happy up here where we are, and I want to stay.
But we can't just...
We can find our place.